Okay, Rabbi Zai, Boker Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Zvachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is Daf Lamed Gimel, and we're right up at the top over here with Lema Misayeli. So what did we learn yesterday? That according to Ula, the halacha is that Bia B'miktzat is considered to be a complete Bia. So there's no way for someone who's Tameh to stick his hands in to be able to do smicha. And because of that, we understood that the one smicha that violates the general rule that would give us problems would be the smicha of the asham mitzora, because the mitzora has got no way to get his hands in there. And we were talking yesterday about the right that he has, the special right that he has, to put his hands in, and the wondering whether it even extended to the din of a Balkari who was a Tvulyon. So today we want to bring a raya to Ula and to show that Ula was correct in saying that there's a problem of even sticking a finger in if you're talking about Bia B'miktzat, because it's the same as Bia. And that, now it's important to remember this, because in the end we're going to question it. And that would mean that even in sticking your hands in, you would be Chayev Kores. If you would be Chayev Kores, then that undoes the entire argument about why it would be worthwhile to bring a Korban Pesach, because the Korban Pesach is a Chayev Kores, because this would also be a Chayev Kores. That's the things that we were talking about yesterday. Today we want to see if we can actually bring a Raya to Ula's position in this. That Bia B'miktzat, Shema Bia. You've got your magic wand over there, Mr. Gavi? And you caught up on all of the wonderful things that we had yesterday? Wow, amazing. Okay, Lema Misayale. So here's the raya. The Braita says, Kolas Michocha Yusham, any smicha that was done in the Beis HaMikdash needed to be done with Tekef L'smicha Shchita. Kore Ani Aleha, Tekef L'smicha Shchita. Smicha occurs as close to Shchita as possible. And that's because, as we saw in the pasuk, we have one pasuk after the other, in which the Torah itself is masmich. Interestingly enough, the pasuk about samach to v'shachat lifnei Hashem, which is how we learned out that it has to be lifnei Hashem. There's only one that was not the same as the other smichot, and that would be a violation of Tekef L'smicha Shchita, which itself should be written down by magic wand, Tekef L'smicha Shchita, general klal. So which one violated that klal? It was the one that was done b'sha'ar niknor. Which smicha would be actually be done b'sha'ar niknor, inside sha'ar niknor? That was the smicha of a mitzora on the asham mitzora, because a mitzorah is not allowed to go in to the Beis HaMikdash until we finish the karbonas that are going to be matir him to eat kachim and to be nichnas into the Mikdash. So ein mitzorah yechol ikanes l'sham. The mitzorah could not go through Sha'ar Niknor into the Azorah, ad shemazin alav vidam chatato, until we actually... doesn't mean we put on him dam chatas, because we don't put any dam chatas. It means we're mazin for him on the mizbeach, the dam chatat. And the dam hashamo, we literally put on him, you know. Anyway, so that means that since the asham is kachay kadashi, and therefore it needs to be shechted bitzofein, so you couldn't have brought it all the way into Sha'ar Niknor, and since they were in completely different places, one was done in Sha'ar Niknor, and the other one had to be taken from Sha'ar Niknor to the Tzofein. Now, we're assuming right now that the Tzofein means that Tzofein is the area between the northern side of the Mizbeach and the wall. You'll remember that that was one specific Shita that we had before, and that argued on Rebbe. But that's what we're assuming, and that's going on Rebbe Yossi by Rebbe Yehuda. That's what we're assuming right now. Now, that is how far, gentlemen. How far is the distance between Sha'ar Niknor and the area of the Mizbeach, which is kosher for the Tzofein according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, where Tzav is specifically the northern area between the Mizbeach and the northern wall of the Azara. Come on, guys, we just were talking about this. We have 11 amos for Yisrael to walk. That's right outside of Shar Niknar. And then the next 11 amos is called the Ezras Kayanim, and that's where the Kayanim walk. And then you get to the side of the Mizbeach. So that equals 22 amos. This is a very important halacha because we actually, believe it or not, we actually apply this halacha in many circumstances where you're supposed to be doing something right away. So from this Gemara, we learn that more than 22 amot is not called right away, because it's called not called tekef l'smicha shchita, you see? So let's say if you're doing netilat yadayim, and you're supposed to be doing your netilat yadayim right before the seuda, not 5 hours before, so you do your netilat yadayim, and then tekef, but what is tekef? Up to how long it takes to walk 22 amot, at least according to the Ashkenazim. So anyway, and there's other places where we've got this idea of tekef. This Gemara provides a marker for that concept, because at least from here we do see beyond 22 amot is not called tekef l'smicha shchita. Now, anyway, so what does this have to do with Ula? Everything. Because if you argue with Ula, and you maintain that bia b'miktzat lav shma bia, what's the big deal? The Mitzora could always have stuck his hands in, and he then could have done smicha, and then we could have shechted it right there. Amar Rav Yosef, what do you mean, right there? Isn't it clear that we're going here according to Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda? Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda holds that Tzafon is all the way at the side of the Mizbeach. So it's 22 amot away. What good is it going to do to stick his hands in? Maybe it is not agreeing with Ula, but even so, you cannot do tekef l'smicha shchita because the Mitzora is not going to be able to stretch his hands for 22 amot to get all the way to the area that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda holds is Tzafon. So what's your briah over here? Well, look, I mean, does this make sense to you? I mean, we're going to permanently create a situation in the Beit HaMikdash where no mitzvah is going to be able to be mekayim the mitzvah of tekef l'smicha shchita. All we need to do is open up a pishpesh. Now, a pishpesh is a small entryway, which is, you know, you'll have to bend over and get through. So it's like a cat door, you know. And inside the wall, you could open up a little tiny door that would be just usable by Mitzorayim to stick their hands in and make that door in Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda's Tzofen, in the walls. There would be a little place where instead of standing in Shaar Niknar, which is 22 amot away from Tzofen, according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, you could make a little door, which is called a pishpesh, and there were pishpeshin. They were on the sides of the larger doors. Usually when we get back to Midas and so on, we'll talk about that. But why not just make a pishpesh right there on the northern side of the wall facing the Mizbeach? Abaye Verova Dharma Tarvayu, this is a naive question. And it's missing a very important yesod. Hakol bichtav miyad Hashem alai hiskil, kol melachot hatavnit. As Dovra Melach wrote, everything about the Beit HaMikdash was given over to me directly by Shmuel Hanavi in the Megillah. We learned it together. We sat and studied it together when I was in Nayot. And that is absolute. It doesn't give an architect a right to design a new Beit HaMikdash, and no changes are allowed in that architecture. It's all inside that Megillah. And if there was no door there, then you can't put a door there. Anyway, so now we're saying that what Rav Yosef Tainet, that maybe we don't have to bring a raya to Ula, is wrong. Now, others say that what Rabbi Yosef said was, actually, it doesn't prove anything about Ula. You know why? Because you think you could just stick your hands in and do smicha. That is called dilettanteism, not smicha. You know what smicha is? You put your entire weight and you push it down on that animal. Now, how are you going to do that unless you're an athlete? And even then, it's not your whole weight, obviously. So how are you going to do that by putting your little tiny hands in there and doing a dilettante smicha? Nonsense. Therefore, even if Ula would be wrong, it would still be impossible because it won't be good enough to be Bia B'miktzat. You would need Rosho Verubo. And that would certainly be a Chi of Karas if you put it inside. And therefore, it's not about Ula, it's about the problem of actual Knisa of Rubo and not about the Knisa of your hands alone. Now, it's true, if you'd be like Richie, for instance, you could just put in your hand and you've got that full weight of Rosh of Rubo. I mean, it's just, if you're powerful. But if you're just a regular guy, especially if you're drinking your spinach, that really gives it to you right then and there. But if you're a regular guy, then this has nothing to do with Ula. And why is this that you got to put in Rosh of Aruba? Kol kochobi inan. You need all of your energy. Hilkach lo efshar. And therefore, there's no way to do it. All right. Now, what does this braisa hold? I mean, what do you mean that we don't do tekef l'smicha shchita? I mean, is tekef l'smicha shchita an absolute requirement or not? I don't understand what this means. I mean, if the Torah is said to do it, so then by God, go do it. It's the same thing we said about sticking in your hands according to Ula. There's no choice. The Torah said, put your hands in there and get the blood and the shemen on the behonot. So this should be the same thing, right? So what is this braita hold? If the braita holds that smichat asha mitzora is a diraita, there really is a din of smicha on an asha mitzora. Now, why might there not be a din of smicha on asha mitzora? Every other asham needs smicha. But remember that the only asham that we bring that is not being brought as a kapara is the asha mitzora. The asha mitzora is coming to be matir him bekotchim, either for the Giyah B'Kachim, Achivas Kachim, or Knisa to the Beis HaMikdash, correct? And there's another very important reason. The Asham Mitzora violates the normal dinim of the Asham, because you have to take some of its dam, and instead of doing what you normally do with the dam, which is Zerika, you have to put it on the Mitzora. Now, that's a violation of the dinim, which means that the Asham Mitzora is not part of the general rules of Asham. We need a special pasuk in order to put back even the general chiyuvim of Karbonos onto an Asham Mitzora. Now, it's possible that because it's not an Asham for Kapara, that we don't have a basis for putting the rules of Kapara issues back onto it. So because of that, maybe ein achinami. There would not be a chiyuv, really, minatera, of smicha on an asha mitzvah. So that's why we're questioning this, and we're going to see later more about it. If this braita holds that smicha of an asha mitzvah is actually a chiyuv diarais, and the braita also ascribes to the view that tekef l'smicha shchita is learnt out from the pasuk, as we just explained, so I don't understand. So let the Mitzora walk in, do the smicha, wherever he needs to go, because Derachman Amar, this is what your lover told you to do. You do it, and that's it. There's no arguing with it. Why would this be no gea, not doing it any more than not doing the shemen and dam on the Mitzora would be? Omrevada bar matna. Well, the truth is, we really would do it. And we really should do it. But the reason we don't do it is because Rabbanan made a gezerah that in case this guy would walk even one extra step into the Azara, he would be chayav kares. The Rabbanan made a gezerah, simply do not do it, because we don't want you to be put into a position where, like, you know, you're like overwhelmed. Oh my God, here I am in the Beis HaMikdash next to the Mizbeach. Oh God. And so, okay. So the guy loses like his orientation. He takes an extra step and pow, now he's chayav kares. That's crazy. We're not going to have somebody do that. So even if the Torah is set to do this, that was for normal people, not for contemporary people who can't think about anything. This was, of course, 1,500 years ago. Halachas kama v'kama. Okay. All right. So, it's a gzeira shema yarbe bipsiot. Ikari amri. Others say that the way Rav Ada Bar Masa explained the Braita is that even though smicha is in fact a deoraisa, the halacha of tekef l'smicha shchita is not a deoraisa. And therefore you can't say, well, the Torah says do it, so do it. The Torah didn't really say do it. That halacha of tekef l'smicha shchita is an esmachta, but it's not, it's the third use of the smichas, right? Esmachta, the smichas of the psukim, and the smicha of the korbanas. So it's a smachta to do smicha on the tekef l'smicha shchita. How could that be? What do you mean? Meisve, it's the Braita said before, that we took it a step further. The somach v'shachat, we learned from the fact that these two things are compared, that just like smicha has to be done b'tohorin, so tushchita has to be done b'tohorin. Now you're telling me, well, that's not really d'oraita. Where does it say that it has to be done b'tohorin? You can actually do it b'tmeim. So then if you're allowed to do that, so then they can do the smicha outside, and then bring in the carbon inside, because what's the difference? There's no dinner. And then you could be doing it even bituma. So the Braita took for granted that this is a real hekesh, and that we actually learn out from it the dinim of tmeim. You're right. Made a mistake. Sorry. Okay. What Rav Ada Bar Masa said is that tekef l'smicha shchita is the oraisa, but smichas osham mitzora is not the oraita. Why is that? Because of the issues that we said before. Since it's actually not a mechaper, so as we'll see later, we don't learn it out. Ravina says, listen, what we said initially is misleading. Because we said before that Rish Lakish holds that a tamei who would put his hand into the azara, that he is chayev. Right? And because of that, we had a whole problem with the Braita that spoke about the Korban Pesach, which was brought Betuna, and it was Erev, and he was a mit, and we contrasted with the Mitzera on Erev Pesach, who became a Balkeri, and we got into the Sfora that it's better to bring a Korban Pesach, and that is a Chi of Kores. If you don't bring it, and not to worry about something that is not a chi of kares, may even only be a drabanan. And because of that, we brought the raya to this idea. And Ravina, I mean, Rish Lakish had to say, listen, you can't put your hand, well, you can't put your hand in even partially. So that would be the beginning of our whole discussion. Why can't we do that smicha? Look, I'll be the Balkeri and the Mitzora. But Ravina says the whole thing is misleading, completely misleading. The reason it's misleading is because your whole kasha was based on the fact that if you do put your hand in, you're going to be chayev kores on the actual smicha. So then what would be the value of saying, well, the Korban Pesach is a chayev kores, and this is not, this is only shiluach tmeim. It's not true. That was our question. Because if you stick your hand in, then it's a chi of kares. That's a mistake. When Rish Lakish said that the halacha is that the bia b'miksat shma bia, he did not mean bia b'miksat is chi of kares. He meant that you're chi of malchus. He never said that you're chi of kares. He said that it's an azhara. And therefore, it has nothing to do with our sugya, which was all built on contrasting chiyuve kores, one of not bringing a korban pesach, and one of knisa l'migdash betuma, which completely moots the entire discussion. And actually, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he said that what Rabbi Abo had said was that you completely misunderstood Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish was not even talking about learning from here the din of Bia B'miktzat. Reish Lakish was talking about a whole different din. And that was, remember, we started with Bechol Kodesh Lo Tiga and Lemigdash Lo Tavo, That was the story of the Oledet. And we said that just like Nigia, remember the whole Makor? I'm reminding you of this again. Just like Nigia, when you touch something, Bituma, you can touch it with one tiny tap of your finger, and that would make the entire thing tummy. So to El Amigdash Lo Tavo means the same thing, that it would be even the slightest knisa. But Ravin said that is not an accurate quote. Reish Lakish was not talking about coming into the Beis HaMikdash and the Gia. He was talking about Le'inyan Tomei Shenoga B'Kodesh. It was actually referring not to Bias Mikdash, but to the Isser of touching Kodesh. Look at this. You'll see what Reish Lakish was referring to. Tomei Shenoga B'Kodesh. Reish Lakish says you're Chayav Malkus. And Rabbi Yochanan says you're not Chayav Malkus. And that's where we had the Hekesh, Reish Lakish, Amar Loke. Why are you Loke? Because it says, Bechol Kodesh Lo Tiga, and since Nigia is just whatever it is that you touch, is Beferish and Isser of touching Kodesh, Betuma. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you're not Loke, because the Pasuk of Bechol Kodesh is clearly not referring to an actual Kodesh. It's referring to Truma. How do you know? It's talking about a Yoledet. How do I know? Because it says Beferish over there that she cannot touch anything until what point? Only until the point that her days of Tahira are completed. Ad melot yamei Tahora. Now let's think about what that means. A Yoledet is Tmeya. The case that the Pasuk was referring to was Yoledet Zachar. Well, Yoledet Zachar is Tmeya Shivas Yomi. Then she goes to the mikveh, and at that point, she becomes a Tfulat Yom, and this is another Gavi term, Mr. Gavi, Tfulat Yom Aroch. This is a very long day, because it starts from her tefillah on the last day of her Tuma, but it goes on for the next 33 days. She remains a Tful Yom until the end, Ad Melot Yemei Tahara. And what should she do, Ad Melot Yemei Tahara? Bechol Kodesh Lo Tiga. Now let me ask you something. If it's real Kodesh, after Melot Yemei Tahara, is she allowed to touch it? No, because she's a Mechuseret Kippurim. And a Mechuseret Kippurim is not allowed to touch Kodesh. But what about Truma? Misha'ash ha'kohanim nichnasim le'chol b'trumatan. As Rabbanea will happily tell you, you do not need to bring a korban. You simply need to wait for sunset. So therefore, this pasuk that talks about this sunset on a planet where the day is 33 days long, and on that sunset she's allowed to touch Kodesh. What Kodesh is it referring to? Only Truma. So don't tell me that this pasuk, says Rabbi Yochanan to Reish Lakish, that this pasuk is b'chayav malkus for touching Kodesh. It's not referring to Kodesh. Now you'll tell me, well, I mean, it's a Kal v'chomer, isn't it? I mean, if it even is enough to aser and to be b'chayav you malkus for touching Truma, alachat kama v'kama, it's enough to be b'chayav you malkus for touching Kodesh. But that brings us to another important Gavi rule. Ein mazirin min adin. You cannot give an azhara. You've already got this one, Gavi. You cannot give a person an azhara. Remember, an azhara means the warning that you're going to get malkus if you're over on it. You cannot give a person an azhara based on a kal v'chomer. You have to actually point directly to, it says in the Torah, this. And that is the Boker of the azhara for his malkus. So since ein mazirin min adin, Tainas Rabbi Yochanan, you cannot learn from here the din that you would get malkus for touching Kodesh. Now, we've got another problem, because according to Reish Lakish, basically, it should be only Nogea, this Isser, of talking about the question of Chiyav Malkus for Negiah B'Kodesh, right? Problem is that Reish Lakish himself uses this pasuk to tell me a completely different halacha. So now, forget, For heaven's sakes, this is the third thing that we've seen that supposedly Rish Lakish does with this pasuk. Whoa. Okay, so first we said, no, it was a big mistake. Rish Lakish was never talking about this din. He was talking about Negiah B'Kodesh. Okay, then we said, no, he couldn't have been talking about Negiah B'Kodesh, because actually, Rish Lakish has a fascinating interpretation of this pasuk, in which the word B'chol Kodesh Lo Tiga does not mean what you think it means. It doesn't mean don't touch. It means don't eat. Now, there are some kind of people that, you know, once you let them touch, it's over. But here, Rish Lakish is just referring to the way that the Torah is presenting the Isser Achila. Because, ask the Gemara of Rish Lakish, is the Pasuk really coming to tell me that Yerchayim Malkus for touching Kodesh? I thought Rish Lakish uses this Pasuk, Amiboyle, Azara lo ochel basar kodesh. Somebody who is tummy, who eats basar kodesh. In that case, we know that he's chay of kores, but where does it say that it's osir? The itmar. Azara lo ochel basar kodesh minayin. Somebody who's tummy, who goes to eat basar of kachim. And where does it say in the Torah not to do it? I know that it says v'nichvato, but where does it say that you're not allowed to do it? So Rish Lakish says, from the word, B'chol Kodesh lo tiga. So even though it says don't touch, what it really means is don't eat. And we'll discuss why that's true in a minute. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, well, I can tell you that Bardala learned in Abraita that the way that we know that there is a Azhara is actually through a Gzeres Shava. And it's from the word Tum'ato, Tum'ato. If we find in two places the word tumato, one which talks about the tumato alav in the case of eating the basar of a shlomim, and the person is tame, nefesh shetochal basar mizevach hashlomim asher Hashem v'tumato alav v'nichrata. So over there it uses that word tumato, but then we've got this other pasuk that says beferish that if somebody is tummy maze, kolon ogea b'meit b'nefesh adam, ela mishkan, lo, et mishkan Hashem timei, od tumato bo, and this chayev chorus. So just like it says in one, tumato, so too in the other be a b'migdash. So just like over there, a person that was bo b'migdash, there it said b'feresh ela migdash lo tavo, and it's an iser, not simply a chi of chorus, but it's an azhara. So too, in this case, a tamei who was ochel is not just chorus. There's also an azhara that we learn out from this actual posik of gzera shava of the chi of chorus alone incorporates within it the din of the azhara. So what do we see from here? That Alibin Reish Lakish B'chol Kodesh Lo Tiga is not referring to an Isser that is B'chayev Malkus for touching Kodesh. It's actually a Azhara for eating B'tumas HaGuf. And so how can the Gemara say before that Reish Lakish uses this Pasuk to tell me that you're Chayev for touching? Well, Reish Lakish says the Pasuk is teaching two completely separate dinim. If the Pasuk really wanted to tell you only the din of Achila, why would it say don't touch? Why would it say B'chol Kodesh Lo Tiga? Why wouldn't it say Lo Tochal? So therefore, Mida Afkar Achmano Bilshon Negia, if the Torah chose to write this with the strange word of touching, which is taking the place, as I'll prove to you, of eating, so that I learn from the fact that it uses the word negiya, and once I know that that's true, that's an azar, of course, where there's no chorus that's ever mentioned, but there is malchus. And how do I know that it's a reference to eating? Well, look at the pasuk. The pasuk is comparing bi'al amigdash to b'chol kodesh lo tiga. So b'chol kodesh lo tiga, ve'al amigdash lo tavo. Now, if that's the case, then we're certainly not mixing metaphors here. We're talking about an Isser Chorus. And the Isser Chorus would be for walking into the Beis HaMikdash, that we know, and We also know that there's an Issachar's for eating Hekdesh, and therefore, never in Kol HaTorah Kula did we ever see an Issachar's associated with Negia, so it can't really mean Negia. So therefore, the Lashon of Negia must be something that is Chayav Karis, which would only be Achila. And in fact, there's a Braita that makes that very clear. Tanya Kavasi Deresh Lakish, Bechol Kodesh Lo Tiga actually means don't eat. This is the Azara for Achilas, Basar Shlomim, or any Korban, Betumas Haguf. So says you, Ata Omer Azara LaOchel, and how about me, who believe that a Pasuk means what it says? Maybe it means touching, or eno ela lenogia. Where do you see an azara lo liochel? Talmud lomar bechol kodesh lo tiga, liel amigdash lo tavo, makish kodesh lemigdash. Just like the migdash, the isekdisa lemigdash, is a chiyav kores, which is called dover sheyeshbo nitilat neshama. It's something that takes away your life, which is karet. Af kodesh, the reference to Kodesh Lotiga is a davar sheyesh bo netilat neshama. And if it meant what it said, nogea, where is there ever a mention of karet for nigia? Netilat neshama mi'ika? So it's got to be achila. And that proves that Rish Lakish has a right to learn both things from this pasuk. A, that the simple meaning of Negiah, since the Torah uses the Lashon of Negiah, there's an Azara. Of course, nowhere does it say Karet, but an Azara without a coupled Karet is an Azara for a Lav, which is Chayiv Malkus. And then we've got this other clear comparison to the actual Knesset HaMikdash, which means it's a reference to a Chet that involves a Chayiv Karet, in which case the Negiah here must actually be a reference to Achivah.